Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. On this day in 1973, the trial of seven men accused of illegal entry into U.S. Democratic Party headquarters at Watergate began. The big maple leaf was considered the largest gold coin in the world, weighing 100 kilograms, having a diameter of 53 centimeters, 3 centimeters thick, and a sales value of 3.75 million euros. The coin had been on display behind safety glass in the Bode Museum in Berlin since 2010. On the night of March 27th of 2017, the coin disappeared from the museum in one of the most spectacular and probably most audacious burglaries of the past years in Berlin, making headlines all over the world. Starting next Thursday, four men will have to answer to the Berlin Regional Court for the disappearance of the coin, and media interest in the proceedings is enormous. The accused is 20-year-old Dennis W., a security guard from the museum. His co-defendants are three members of an extended Berlin family of Arabic origin known to the police. 20-year-old Ahmed R. and 24-year-old Vasi R. are brothers, and 22-year-old Vissam R. is their cousin. According to the prosecution, the defendants planned the heist at least 10 days before the crime. Dennis W., the museum's security guard, had provided the three co-defendants with important information on the premises and security measures. The three others are said to have committed the break-in, and with the simplest tools, they were able to steal the coin. They ran from the Hackischer Markt S-Bahn station as proven by surveillance videos, paying careful attention not to be recognized. The videos also show that the burglars had tried to enter the museum two nights before the crime. On the night of the crime, the burglars apparently climbed from the railway embankment up a ladder into one of the windows of the museum, which is said not to have been connected to the alarm circuitry. From there, they went to the numismatic collection and, with an axe, smashed the bulletproof glass of the security showcase in which the huge gold coin was located. They then pushed the coin on a skateboard to a window and threw the coin out and transported it further with a wheelbarrow. 4 months later, investigators arrested the suspects, made possible by DNA traces found on the tools the thieves dumped after the crime. To this day, it is unclear what happened to the coin. Public prosecutor's office assumes that it was cut up and sold piece by piece. If the three members of the extended family are found to be guilty, this would not be the first spectacular crime this family will be responsible for. In October of 2014, family members burgled a branch of the Sparkasse in Mariendorf, and more than 100 safe deposit boxes were opened, and the stolen loot amounted to almost 10 million euros. It was not until July of last year that investigators took action against the family, confiscating 77 properties with a value of more than 9 million euros. The real estate is said to have been financed from the proceeds of various crimes committed by the clan. The proceedings against the four defendants take place before a youth chamber of the regional court, since three of the defendants were adolescents at the time of the crime. A total of 12 days of negotiations are planned, and a verdict could therefore be handed down at the end of March. Tanja Knapp, director of the Police Academy, told the Berliner Morgenpost that after the headlines of the past months, the Berlin Police Academy will have its own conflict resolution team. An experienced police officer and a social worker are to take care of the problems of the students in the future. The 51-year-old Knapp took over management of the school last year after the previous director, Jochen Stimberg, had asked for a transfer after a series of scandals. Knopp further explained that many trainees have very specific troubles, including problems at home, exam fears, or relationship difficulties, and that teachers do not always have time to deal with these issues. In the future, a police officer and an external social worker are assigned to help the students. Knopp further told the Berliner Morgenpost that she has already had more than 200 conversations at the academy since taking office, and that, quote, everyone is united by the need to get out of the negative headlines of the last year and a half. However, several teachers had also told her that the reform process of the past years had exhausted them. Commenting on the discussions with police students, the new leader said that, quote, there was a noticeable need for rules to be adhered to again and for compliance to be monitored more closely. According to anonymous allegations made a year and a half ago, there had been fierce debates about the academy. A voice message mentioned, among other things, a lack of discipline, refusal to learn, poor German and spelling problems in a class with many trainees from immigrant families. Allegations were also made that the academy had been infiltrated by criminal clans. At the end of months of debate, the head of the academy, Jochen Zinnberg, asked for his transfer, and special investigator Josef Strobel was commissioned to investigate the conditions at the academy. He was able to dispel the accusation of infiltration, but found a number of structural problems. Strobel criticized the regular cancellations of lessons, the poor German language skills of the pupils, and a bloated management structure. Since then, four new German teachers were hired. Knopp criticized the level of education of some of the students, remarking that some have blatant difficulties in the drafting of papers, and also some catching up to be done with regard to athletic performance and general willingness to perform. The director also confirmed media reports that the Berlin police would like to enter the housing market in order to provide cheap housing for students. Concrete talks have already been held with the housing companies on this topic. For this purpose, as reported, cooperation is to be established with the state-owned housing association, Berlinovo. There is also talk about new buildings at the academy. On May 6th of 1999, the drug dealer Peter Blumenstock was killed by a gunshot to the head. Now, police seem to have further leads on the suspect. The Public Prosecutor's Office and the State Criminal Investigation Office are using photos to search for the suspected murderer, Vladimir S., who is now 67 years old. The Public Prosecutor's Office in Berlin has offered a reward of up to 10,000 euros for information that leads to the investigation of the crime. According to police, the suspect regularly wears wigs and changes the appearance of his beard. He may have also changed his face with the help of plastic surgery and could potentially look much younger. In the past, the suspect used a large number of aliases, so he could be living under unknown personal details. The pictures shown by police are from the 1990s. His distinctive red hair and beard are likely to be pale or gray by now, according to police. Vladimir S. is about 1.76 meters tall and speaks several languages, including German, Polish, and Russian. Investigators are asking anyone with information about the suspect to come forward. Contact information for the Berlin State Criminal Investigation Office or the Landeskriminalamt Berlin can be found in our show notes. As previously reported by Berlin Briefing, many passengers experienced a warning strike by security guards at Tegel and Schönefeld airports yesterday morning. Around 400 employees had responded to the call of the Verdi trade union and had laid down their work from 5 a.m. until shortly before 9 a.m. A spokesman for Flughafen Berlin Brandenburg remarked that everything at the airports had remained quiet, and passengers had obviously been well informed, although almost 50 connections were canceled. and Schoenfeld, about 25 flights had also been postponed after the strike was over. Verdi is demanding an hourly wage of 20 euros for employees in flight safety nationwide. The union had called for a warning strike after the failure of the last negotiations with the Federal Association of Aviation Security Companies, or the BDLS. Per reporting in the Berliner Morgenpost, the Verdi spokesman remarked there could also be further strikes elsewhere, and that no airport can be excluded from them. Nationwide, about 23,000 people work in flight safety. In Berlin, about 3,000 people are working at both airports. After the last talks in December, the head of the Collective Bargaining Commission on the employer's side said that, quote, Verdi apparently doesn't want to negotiate a collective bargaining agreement, but would rather strike. According to him, the union will stubbornly adhere to the demand for a uniform hourly wage. Lufthansa executive board member Detlef Kayser criticized, stating that, quote, it is regrettable that the new year is already beginning with irregularities for our passengers. The group had to cancel connections due to the warning strike, and the next round of collective bargaining is scheduled for January 23rd. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.